So good to see so many of our friends that we've become acquainted with over the years, and certainly great to be with your pastor and his wife and youth pastor and wife. So grateful for the ministry, and I hope that we can help you. We've come to try to be a blessing to you this week, and so let's just pull out all the stops and let's have church. What do you say? I mean, it sounds like you've already been doing that. And let's just, if you have a specific need tonight, I've often found that if you'll focus on Him, amen. Sometimes, and I know we're to bring our needs to the Lord, and we may preach on that sometime this week, but sometimes if you'll just praise Him, you can praise Him right out of your trouble. Hallelujah. And you get high enough in God, those troubles won't look so big. Amen. You'll have a whole different perspective on the whole thing. Back in the 1960s, some miners put a phone booth way out in the Mojave Desert. The closest town was several miles away. The miners used this phone booth, and it was put there by Bell, Pacific Bell. And for years, it was in operation, and they would use it sporadically being in contact with their families and whatnot. But as the mining industry moved out of the area, so did the miners. And as a result, the phone booth became very isolated and a desolate piece of equipment out in the middle of the desert that had no more use. Over the years, some 30 years had passed. Some folks had come by. They'd shot out the glass of the phone booth. The door was hanging on its hinges, but it was still operational. And a reporter came through and was at a nearby town and heard some the locals talking about the phone booth out in the desert, and it intrigued him to write an article about it, which he did. That article went all the way to Georgia, and a man by the name of Deuce read this article, and there was a phone number that the writer had given as well in the article. And so for 3 weeks, randomly, he dialed that number trying to get an answer. Of course, again, it's way out in the desert, only accessible by four-wheel drive, and never could get an answer. But on the third week, finally, somebody picked up the phone. It was a desert dweller by the name of Lorraine. And Lorraine picked up that phone and started a conversation with Deuce. And he was so intrigued by it, he wrote a blog and put it on his website, and that thing went viral. And from 1997, that first phone call that was after 30 years of being silent, that first phone call sparked enthusiasm. And for the next 3 years, from 97 till the year 2000, there were numerous people who called that number hoping to get an answer on the other end. In fact, it sparked so much interest that people traveled from all over the United States and some from even Canada to go to the Mojave Desert, to go to this isolated, desolate phone booth way out in the middle of nowhere. And in fact, one man from Texas even came up and he camped for 32 days and answered over 500 calls in 32 days. Something about calling a total stranger in the middle of a desert really, really, you know, rocked somebody. His boat. So they started keeping a log of all the calls that came in, and literally there were thousands of calls that came in from all over the world of people calling this little phone booth in the Mojave Desert. Well, in the year 2000, the National Park Service and Pacific Bell, they deemed that this was causing too much traffic, not only too many calls, but too many visitors. They were getting 20 to 30 visitors every day to this area, and the National Park Service felt that it was having a negative impact on the desert environment, and so they eliminated the phone booth. They tore it down. But the line is still active. In fact, the number 760-733-9969 can still be dialed, but it'll just ring and ring and ring because there's no instrument on the other end of the line for which to receive the call. Aren't you glad that God is not that way? When we call Him, He's never busy. In fact, that old songwriter said, Central's never busy, always on the line. Yeah. You may hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service, free for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father for His loved and own. You can talk to Jesus through this royal telephone. I like this second verse. There'll be no charges. The telephone is free. It was built for service just for you and me. There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory. Always answers just in time. Yes. I'm glad that we serve an on-time God. I'm glad we serve a God who's never busy. I know 911 was overloaded the last week or so. Down in the state of Florida, there's people who couldn't get through. But when you call upon the Lord, I guarantee you're going to get through. Because He's always listening for the cry of His people. Oh, hallelujah. Worship the Lord as we sing this song. Jesus never fails. Praise the Lord. So many souls have tested Him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to Him with broken hearts and minds.
And every one of them will say, without exception, that they find our Jesus never fails.
And even in the days of old, He brought His people through. And then He came and He showed His love, and He died for me and you.
And then He rose again to prove that every story had been true, that our Jesus, oh, He never, never fails. Oh,
Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails.
You might as
well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. Jesus never fails.
Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes this world brings trouble I find so hard to bear. And I know I could not make it without Jesus being there.
It's so encouraging to know, however deep we're in despair, that our Jesus, oh, He never fails.
So what can I do to prove this to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries. It's all so cut and dry.
And on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that our Jesus never, He never fails.
Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails.
You might as
well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. Jesus never fails.
I know
Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails.
You might as
well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. Jesus never fails.
You might as
well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. Jesus never.
I said
Jesus never.
Oh, and
Jesus never fails.
Let's sing it one more time. Will Jesus
never
sing it out?
Jesus never
fails. Well, you might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. I know Jesus never fails.
One more time. That sounds so good.
Oh, Jesus never fails.
Aren't you glad for it tonight?
Might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail. Jesus never fails.
Let's give the Lord praise tonight. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's give Him praise, church. Let's let it ring tonight. A never failing God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I love that part. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. I'll tell you what, Jesus already defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. Amen. His bruised heel, amen, damaged that serpent's head. And I thank God we have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, yes. So when the devil lies to you and tells you that you're not going to succeed, you just remind the devil of his future. Remind him of his past and remind him of his future. Because we are overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 100 and verse 5. Tonight, just this one verse for now. Psalms 100. And verse number 5.
Praise the name of the Lord.
I love God's word, don't you? It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Hallelujah. Psalms 100 and verse number 5. It says, for the Lord. In fact, let's just read it together, shall we? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for the reading of Your word tonight. I pray that as we stand here in Your holy pulpit, that You would anoint us with fresh oil from the throne. Speak to our hearts, God. Let Your word settle deep in and take root, and let us have a wonderful and an exceptional altar service tonight, I pray, as You move in our hearts and lives, in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the generational transfer. The generational transfer. Adam and Eve disappointed God by disobeying His commandment. As a result, sin entered into the world. Through Adam's sin, God judged the world with a flood. The only person to survive the flood was a man by the name of Noah. Noah and his family, the only survivors. Genesis 6 and 18 says, but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Although this covenant initially was just with one man, amen, it affected his whole family. God further established His covenant with Noah in Genesis 9 and verse 8. God spake unto Noah and to his sons, saying, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. The covenant progressed from being between God and a man to God, a man, and his sons, and then those after him. But God wasn't satisfied with this yet. He said in verse 12, God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between you, me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. That word perpetual simply means never ending or changing. And of course, we know the sign of that covenant was the rainbow. Might I interject this right here? I just have to say this, that the rainbow was there long before the LGBT got a hold of it. Amen. And I'm not shy of having a rainbow. Amen. Yet I'm not associated with that group. I'm associated with the people of God. We owned it first. Amen. I just wanted to throw that in there. Amen. Well, the next covenant that God established with man was with Abraham. Genesis 17 and verse 7, he said, I establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So here's the summary of God's covenant thus far. God's covenant started between God and man. And then God increased that to include God, man, and his seed. And then God said furthermore, and perpetual generations. That means God, man, his seed, and his seed forever and forever and forever. Amen. God reiterated this in Genesis 17 verse 9. God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant before, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This family of this patriarch, Abraham, honored this covenant. They obeyed it. They treasured it. They favored it. They gave themselves to it. Abraham passed it on to his son Isaac, and it looks like it seems that it remained in that transfer. But then somehow from Isaac to his firstborn Esau, the transfer somehow failed. Esau missed the blessing. But the trouble that was created there, amen, with some struggle that there was, the covenant was then transferred to the second born Isaac, and that was Jacob's second son. And then looking at the lineage of Jacob in this end of Genesis, Jacob's on his deathbed. He is now in Egypt. He's not there because he wants to be, but he's there for a purpose. Amen. As he's there on his deathbed, he gathers his sons in to give them his final blessing, amen, upon their lives. But some of his sons he does not bless, but rather curses. He uses phrases such as unstable as water and thou shalt not excel. He refers to some of his sons as instruments of cruelty in their habitations. He curses their anger and their wrath. And he said, I will divide them in Jacob and will scatter them in Israel. Here was Jacob in Egypt. And the reason he's here is because of his firstborn sons, plural, who were jealous over his favored son, Joseph. And those of you that have been in church long enough know the story of Joseph being sold into slavery. First, he was put in a pit feigned that an animal had killed him, and then sold to slavery, went to Potiphar's house, lied upon, cheated, accused of being one who cheated on his master with his master's wife, ends up in prison. From there, he's elevated to the palace over a series of events. And as we look at this transition in Joseph's life, amen, we can see that God did indeed turn the intent of evil to good when it was all said and done. But the point is, Jacob did not want to go to Egypt. And even though there was famine in Canaan, even though Jacob knew that it would be a treacherous journey for him because of his age, he felt the necessity to go to Egypt one more time. And after he arrives in Egypt, he meets with his sons, and his last request is, please don't bury me here in Egypt. Egypt, but take my bones back to the land of my fathers and bury me with my fathers. Amen. One of the main reasons that Jacob agreed to go to Egypt, and this is the thrust of my message, is that one last time he wanted to meet with his sons. One last time he wanted to be able to collectively talk to them together and impart his blessing to them. This wasn't totally about the famine in the land. This wasn't totally that he was forced to go. It was his one last chance to put something into his sons that he needed to do before he died. Right near the end of Jacob's life, he's weary, he's worn out. Physically, he's not up to such a trip, but he wants to try to ensure that in his sons and in his sons' sons, there is a recognition and a realization, amen, of who they were and what their purpose is, where they came from and where they were going. This was his one last chance to bestow the blessing upon his children. He would take this one last opportunity and he would lay his hands upon the head of his son Joseph and would pronounce blessing on him and upon his seed after him. Amen. I'm preaching about this generational transfer. Praise God. Jacob realized this was his last opportunity and he was not going to miss it. Although feeble, although depleted, although spent, he pushed himself to pass on the blessing to the next generation. It was too important for him to let it die. It was too important for him to stay in Canaan. He knew it would be a hard journey. He knew he'd have to sacrifice, but he knew if he did not do it, that the generational blessing would die with him in Canaan. So he made his way to Egypt to be with his sons one more time. Amen. What I've come to preach to you tonight is this. You can become so focused on your problem, and I'm not minimizing the problems we go through, but if we're not careful, we will fail to pass on to our next generation the blessing that God has bestowed upon us, that we have enjoyed for many, many years, that we have had access to for many, many years. And if we're not careful, we'll shrivel up and die and not pass it on to the next generation. Amen. You understand, don't you? The very reason you have a wonderful church here at Broadway Assembly is because our fathers and our mothers, our grandfathers and our grandmothers, our great-grandfathers and our great-grandmothers, our forefathers before us, they sacrificed, they paved the way, and over the years, they passed down to generation after generation. Amen. The blessing of this Pentecostal experience. Amen. The reason that we have a vibrant church tonight is because somebody knew how to worship and somebody knew how to praise and somebody said, I want my children to have this. I want my grandchildren to have this. I want my great grandchildren to have a place to come and worship the great God of heaven. I'm telling you, it's been a transition over the years from generation to generation of the blessing that God has given. God is a covenant God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yes, I was on your your Facebook account the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, and I looked at a couple of entries there that said something about your church. One of them is from a lady by the name of Sonia Ramos Murray. Anybody know Sonia? She's not here at church, right? She lives somewhere else, another state. Anyways, she wrote, Broadway Assembly, the church where I grew up, would not have gone to another church. I learned about Jesus and gave my life to him in the prayer room, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost by the pulpit. proud of that church. Thank God for all my Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and my Ohio friends. It's still my home church. Praise God. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. You made an impact on a young lady by the name of Sonia. There was a Sunday school teacher that invested some time in her. And as a result, she got saved right here at Broadway Assembly, filled with the Holy Ghost, right here by the pulpit. Oh, pray. I'm feeling better already. Another lady wrote, Penny Brewer Cobb. She said, what a great place to be raised. I enjoyed each moment of my childhood here. Although I live far away, upon each return, I am made to feel like family again. Thank you, Broadway, for a beautiful history. That kind of stuck out to me. Amen, a history. Well, what does history involve? It involves relationships. It involves generations. Amen. It wasn't just because of one, but it goes back and back. Do you understand what I'm preaching to you tonight? Amen. That's why revival is such a necessity for this day and hour. From time to time, God has to remind us, amen, you've got to keep the covenant blessing going. You've got to keep this way going. You've got to keep worship going. You've got to keep praise going. Somebody needs to hear the preaching of the word. Don't water it down. Keep it strong. Keep it going. Keep the altars alive. Amen. That's what this is about tonight, is a revival to remind us that from generation to generation, we have been blessed, and thus let's be a blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Is there anybody here tonight that feels the urgency of the hour? Is there anybody tonight that can hear the prophetic ticking of God's clock? Amen. Is there anybody here tonight, amen, who feels like time is running out, who'll drop everything they have and say, oh God, come hell or high water, I'm going to make sure that this thing stays alive because my next generation has got to have it. They've got to have it. Amen. I'll tell you what we need tonight is an old-fashioned heaven sent, hell-chasing, sin-erasing, restoration revival. Amen. That'll charge us up again, rejuvenate our spirit, cause us to get a hold of the almighty hand of God and say, I need this and my children need it. Amen. It's for the young and it's for the old. God said in Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass afterward, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, that's you and I, shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I'm telling you, we need the old and we need the young. I'm telling you, they go hand in hand. I've been in a lot of churches where there's been a lot of young and very little old. I've been in a lot of churches that it's been very, very old and very little young. I'm glad for a good balance I see here. We need each other. We need the wisdom of our elders. We need the experience of our veteran soldiers that have been there and done that. We need some old heads, if you will, that'll still have a shout in their soul, a song in their heart, praise on their lips, so our young generation, amen, can mimic them. Oh, Courtney used to, when she was younger, she used to imitate some of the folks in our church, and I was glad she did. One day, I was in my office, and I come out, and she was behind the pulpit up on a chair. She's just little girl then, and she got up on a chair, and she's just singing away, leading worship, mimicking the song leader, and then she mimicked the preacher, her dad. Oh, she took a text, and I mean, she flat out preached. I almost got under conviction. Amen. Telling people they needed to God, they needed to get saved, needed to give up this and that. Oh, I'm telling you, she was rowing. She was actually plowing the field. Oh, praise God. That's what our young people, amen, I'm so glad they have some examples that they can look to, and some heroes of the faith that when they get older, they say, I want to be like them. Oh, I know there's some folks we didn't want her to mimic. Don't everybody shout at once. Amen. But oh, thank God. Amen. She put them deadheads aside and wanted to mimic those who had the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's what revival is about. It's to give us something in our soul that says, I'm going to pass it down to the next generation. Hallelujah. Woo. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll lose it. Oh, yeah. Just like the Israelites did in Judges chapter 2. It says the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also, listen to this, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The next generation. What happened, Dad? Mom? What happened was they got doing things they thought was right in their own eyes. They got busy doing things they thought were necessary and failed to raise a generation to know God. And not only did they not know God, but they did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know what they did? They failed to make the trip that Jacob made. They failed to have something in their heart that said, whatever happens, I've got to pass this down to the next generation. They didn't think that keeping God's covenant was that big of a deal. Listen, is there anybody here tonight that would say, I refuse to be known as somebody that was a stumbling block to the next generation? I refuse to be known as somebody, amen, that did not know how to get a hold of God. I refuse for somebody to say on my epitaph that they did not know the Lord. And I'm telling you, if there's somebody here tonight that would just get a hold of this and say, I refuse to have somebody say of me that they never saw me worship. They never saw me pray. They never saw me praise. They never saw me get a hold of God. They never saw me witness. They never saw me get work for the church. Oh, what a horrible epitaph that would be. Amen. Jacob could have stayed in Canaan in his famine. He could have just stayed there and died without ever passing on the blessings to his sons. Amen. But he didn't. He made up his mind. He said, I'm going to Egypt. I'm going to see my sons. I'm going to pass on something to them I've had for a number of years. I've got something that I need to give them. Would to God in this revival, amen, we'd make up our minds that we're going to get in and get a hold of this and give something to our next generation. I'm telling you, we need a church. Hallelujah. Psalms, let me close with this. 145 verse 4 says, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. You know what I want to pass on to that next generation? I want to pass on to them that they'll know how to praise God. I mean, we know how to clap. And we know how to give honor, I guess, if you will, to those of high prestige. And we know certainly when the pigskin is thrown and there's a touchdown made, how to make noise. I want my next generation to know how to praise him. I want them to know that praise is an audible thing. You can worship from your heart, but praise is an articulation of what's down on the inside. When I got a hold of this, it
wasn't hard for me to say, well, glory, hallelujah. Let the blessings of God, let them roll out of your lips. Let God be honored with your articulated praise. That's what I want to pass down to my next generation. I want to pass down to them, amen, the art of worship. We live in a busy society, but oh, that we take time to fall on our knees before a holy God and lift our hands toward heaven and worship Him for who He is, not just for what He's done, but who He is. He is the great I Am. He is the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He is the great I Am that I Am. Hallelujah. What do you want to pass down to your generation? I want to pass down to them some sanctified living. I want my boys to know that you can still dress as boys and girls can still dress as girls. I want them to know there is an identity in Christ. I want to pass down to them sanctification. I want to pass down to them evangelism. Hallelujah. I want somebody to know, amen, that this is their generation. Is there anybody here tonight that feels that way? You know what revival's about? Revival is about searching our heart and saying, God, can I not do better? Can I not be a better marker for God, for this generation to see? Can I not be somebody they can mimic? Maybe you're here tonight and I know you might have needs, but maybe God will meet those when you do some heart searching and say, I've been way too busy. I've been way too occupied with my own things. It's time for me to step out of this and get a hold of the blessing of God again and get a hold of revival again and say, Lord, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I wish to God some Sunday school teacher tonight would get a hold of this and say, Lord, I need some fresh oil. I need a fresh anointing. I need a fresh touch to pass down to my next generation. The generational transfer is happening. Let's be a part of it, shall we? Let's stand tonight. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, touch us, oh God. Pull us towards you. Let us make that last trip. This may be the last revival we have. This may be the last opportunity to pass on to the next generation the blessings of God. Oh God, let me give it all I've got tonight in this revival. These altars are open. Let's come and pray. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's the first step. Amen. But oh, while folks are coming, come on, let's come and find a place to pray. If you need Jesus in your heart, amen, just get a hold of our attention. Amen. Get a hold of the pastor's attention. We'll pray with you. We'll seek God with you. Amen. If you haven't prayed in some time, it'd be a good time to pray tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church.
How He picked me up and turned me around. How He placed my feet on solid ground. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around. How He placed my feet on solid ground. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah.